Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We now know the name of the man who was shot and killed in Sanford this morning. A description of the vehicle deputies believe may be tied to this case is straight ahead.
Also, state lawmakers introduced new legislation meant to crack down on the opioid crisis. Plus,
a couple of passengers tried to talk to him to calm him down. It was only making him more agitated.
The passenger describes a man attacking a flight attendant and the takedown that followed.
We begin with a breaking update on a big story we've been following out of Mexico. Two of the four Americans kidnapped in Mexico have been found dead. The other two are alive. That's according to the president of Mexico. One person has been arrested. The Americans crossed into Matamoros, Mexico in a white minivan with North Carolina plates on Friday. The mother of one of the women says her daughter was traveling to Mexico for a cosmetic medical procedure. They were taken at gunpoint after getting caught in the middle of a confrontation between groups. The victims have not been identified.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have Sky 5 over the scene in Durham. One person is dead after they were struck by a vehicle. This is a live picture of the scene right now. This happened on Hillsborough Road at the 15501 overpass. Officers located a male who had been struck by a car. EMS did respond and the victim was pronounced dead at the scene. The Hillsborough Road overpass will be shut down until further notice. You can see police cars here. The crash does remain under investigation, when we will provide any further details as soon as we get them here in the Live Center.
Right now, police in Lee County are searching for a shooter after a man was killed next to a popular restaurant early this morning. The man who was shot and killed is Calvin Richard Lester Jr., a 25-year-old from Carthage. WRO's Eric Miller joins us live from that scene. Eric, what can you tell us?
Well, Jeff, you can see in just a little bit over the last hour, those deputies, they've cleared out of the parking lot here at Fats Jr. Grill on Womack Road. Just a little bit of caution tape left blowing in the wind here. Instead, they're now out on the lookout for a dark four-door Toyota Camry driven by an unknown man who they believe has ties to this shooting. To take a look at some of this video, you can see what this scene looked like earlier. Deputies and members of the forensics team absolutely everywhere in this parking lot. It's not clear what led up to this shooting. The sheriff's office has said that no one from Fat Junior's was involved. Instead, they say the victim, Lester, worked at one of the nearby manufacturing facilities here. Lester was shot once and died at the scene. Now, the folks at Fat Junior, they did post on Facebook this morning, again, confirming that none of their employees were hurt, none of their employees were involved, asking only that people pray for the victim. Jeff?
Eric Miller live in Lee County for us this noon. Eric, thank you.
We're waiting for police to release the name of the person who was killed in an early morning crash on Atlantic Avenue. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was at the scene near Six Forks Road. Three cars crashed just before 4:30 this morning, and the road opened less than an hour ago. We also know a child and an adult were taken to the hospital. We're working to get more information about the investigation. Again, Atlantic Avenue has reopened. One person is in custody after a chase spanning two counties this morning. This is video from Buffalo Road in Selma, where the chase ended. Goldsboro police say it started when they clocked the driver going more than 100 miles per hour along U.S. 70. A Johnston County Sheriff's deputy threw stop sticks in the car's path, but it kept going, even with flat tires. Investigators say the driver came to a stop near the Selma oil terminals, but kept revving the car engine until officers smashed a window and arrested him. No one was hurt.
A short time ago, state lawmakers introduced new legislation increasing the penalty for fentanyl and opioid-related offenses.
Victims' families pushed for action to raise awareness about the danger of the drugs. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us now live with what's in that measure. Laura.
Renee, families of overdose victims, law enforcement leaders, and district attorneys all came together today to urge lawmakers to increase the penalties on fentanyl dealers. They say the state is in the grip of an epidemic that's showing no signs of slowing down. A sponsor, Senator Danny Britt, says his bill would allow people who sell fentanyl to be charged with a Class B2 felony, which he called a secondary murder. It comes with a sentence of decades in prison. Britt said in 2021, 11 people died in North Carolina every single day from drug overdose. overdoses, and three-quarters of those, about 3,000 deaths, were due to fentanyl. He said 2022 was even worse. Leslie Maynard-Locklear is one of the faces behind those grim statistics. She lost both of her sons to drug addiction last year, 9 months apart. Speaking tearfully from behind big photos of her sons, her family, she said her younger son, Matthew, didn't even know he was taking fentanyl, but the heroin he bought was laced with three times a lethal dose of the drug.
I don't have the answers on what to do to stop this epidemic, but I know we must try and keep trying, because if we stop, we lose. I owe it to my boys to fight for them and to support every measure I can to stem the flow of illegal drugs.
Now, the bill would also create a task force to bring together law enforcement agencies statewide to help track and prosecute offenders who operate in multiple jurisdictions. That bill is being heard as we speak in the Senate Judiciary Committee. It is expected to pass with bipartisan support.
Thanks, Laura. Leslie, live from the Legislative Building.
Our temperatures this afternoon are well above normal again, but today is the last day of that warm ride we've been enjoying for a little while anyway. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at when those temperatures drop down to freezing again.
Oh, it is so nice out there right now. I just went out for a stroll. It is getting breezy. You can see the trees here live in Sanford swaying in the breeze. That is the wind that's going to bring the colder air in. But right now we're in the 70s across most of the area. 68 in Roxborough, mid-70s in the Triangle, we're 77 in Fayetteville right now, so we've warmed up quickly. But our cold front is slipping through, and our winds will shift to northwesterly. That wind that's gusty out there right now is going to bring the colder air in. We'll see gusts out of the northwest at 30 miles per hour this afternoon, steady at around 20. Here's the way it's going to look. Today, temperatures in the mid-70s. Our normal high is 60. We're back to nearly normal Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday looks chilly and wet. We'll take a look at the timeline for the rain on Friday and how long the cooler temperatures will stick around. Coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. A man who stabbed a flight attendant in the neck repeatedly with a broken spoon says he did it because he thought employees were trying to kill him. A passenger on the United Airlines flight from LA to Boston recorded video of a man threatening to kill people. The passenger also tried to open the door of the plane because he said he wanted to jump. One passenger described how the man was finally subdued.
Many men from the plane jumped up, followed him. Tackled him to the ground, and there were probably about four to six of them that sat on top of him to restrain him.
He was zip-tied and arrested once the plane landed. The passenger is set to appear in court on Thursday.
Breaking news this noon coming out of North Hills. WRL has confirmed Kane Realty is withdrawing its request to rezone parts of North Hills for future development. WRL broke this story within the hour on WRL.com. And WRL's Ken Smith is here with what else we learned about this unexpected turn of events. Ken, what's going on here?
Listen, Jeff, this is major news as we take a live look at North Hills right now, all the construction going on right now, considering the city council was scheduled to continue the public hearing on this rezoning and could have voted on it at tonight's meeting. Here's some background. That rezoning would have covered about 11 acres of land within North Hills. It would have allowed for taller towers up to 37 stories to be built along Six Forks Road. This rezoning battle has raged on between Kane Realty and City Council for almost 2 years. Kane did make some concessions over that time. The original proposal was to build towers up to 40 stories, which was reduced to 37. Kane also offered to include affordable housing, as well as land for a city transit station and an expanded fire station in North Hills. Now, WRL obtained a copy of the email Kane's attorney sent to the city that reads in part, after giving it a great deal of consideration, the applicant has decided to withdraw this zoning case. We appreciate all of the time and energy the staff put into this rezoning. Now, a city spokesperson tells WRL, the withdrawal means this rezoning submitted in October 2021 is dead for now. The city says Kane Realty would have to wait 2 years to resubmit the rezoning and go through the process all over again. Now, we should also note this rezoning faced opposition from the Midtown Citizens Advisory Council. Now, WRL's Matt Tallham is pushing for more answers on this story, including why the developer Kane Realty pulled this request, and considering the timing again, also the mayor's reaction and what this means for the future of North Hills. To look for all new reporting starting at 4 right here on WRL. Jeff.
We'll certainly do that. Ken Smith in studio with us this noon. Ken, thank you. Check the stocks right now as we get our Tuesday rolling on Wall Street. There is a sell-off that is gaining steam. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, as you see right there, down 404 points right now. This comes after Fed Chair Jerome Powell made some comments about higher interest rates for longer period of times, and it is sparking some fears, as you can see on Wall Street. NASDAQ is down 97 points right now. S&P 500 also down 40 points.
And Jeff, coming off of that breaking within the last hour, JetBlue, the U.S. Justice Department is suing JetBlue's proposed $3.8 billion merger deal with Spirit Airlines. This just came out. Now, the lawsuit is not a surprise. JetBlue was preparing for this lawsuit. Over the last 22 years, the Justice Department has only allowed five airline mergers. Those deals turned nine major U.S. carriers into four. We've got American, United, Delta, and Southwest. Now, JetBlue has vowed to press ahead with merger efforts. They're hoping to defeat this lawsuit and get a deal by the end of this year.
Michelle, thanks. Frustration for families in Wake County as the school bus driver shortage gets worse. Today, we'll get an update on what leaders are doing to recruit and keep drivers. WRL's Nye Harden is at the Wake County Bus Yard with a closer look at what's needed.
Wake County Schools continues to see bus driver openings, and as that number grows, it's parents that are having to deal with the impact. New numbers show 285 bus driver openings. More than 32% of the spots are not filled. That number has grown every month. The school system currently pays its drivers $17.20 an hour. And to get more drivers, they have tried boosting marketing. They've been paying for advertising on social media and redesigning their landing pages with lead forms. Other districts in our area have resorted to offering more pay. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools just approved $20 per hour for bus drivers. WRAL education reporter Emily Walkenhorst explained what we could hear today about pay.
There may also be discussion at the board level of, you know, what else the school system can do. The school board is going to make a budget request to county commissioners in the next few months. And that'll first come from the superintendent, perhaps with a little bit of school board input about what they'd like to see in that.
Nye Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Next at noon, airlines are giving in to the government's request to let families sit together in flight without charging extra. Who's joining the list and dropping the fees?
Also, former First Lady Michelle Obama launches her new podcast today, Why She Cries, in the first episode.
Plus, there's a nationwide teacher shortage. At 12:30, the alarming trend of educator turnover and how some districts are dealing with it.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
More airlines are dropping family seating fees as the government expresses criticism. The Transportation Department has launched a new effort to let you see which airlines charge extra to seat families together as you look live at RDU International. Cole Higgins explains why one travel expert expects more airlines to bow down to pressure.
More airlines taking action amid soaring pressure from the federal government about dropping so-called junk fees.
I'm expecting that the rest of the airlines who have yet to announce that they're getting rid of them will soon be announcing that in the next few weeks.
Scott Kies, founder of the flight deal website Going, says family seating fees could one day be a thing of the past. Alaska Airlines is joining a growing list of carriers now guaranteeing your family will sit together and they won't charge you for it. It comes as the Transportation Department releases a new online dashboard allowing travelers to see which airlines charge and don't charge families to select seats next to each other.
The Biden administration has really been waging a war on junk fees since the State of the Union.
American and Frontier Airlines have also rolled out similar family seating policies, guaranteeing children will be seated next to an accompanying adult without a fee. And United Airlines recently announced a policy update as well, but stopped short of offering a guarantee. Travel experts say it's a welcome travel trend for families who have been forced to pay fees, often adding up to hundreds of dollars per trip.
Even if you were traveling with young children, if you didn't want to pay the oftentimes, you know, $50 or more per person to pick your seats, you then were at risk of getting separated on the plane.
That was Cole Hagan reporting. The Biden administration is expected to send Congress legislation in the coming weeks to further address airline junk fees.
For the sixth time this year, the French are striking against the government's plans to raise the retirement age for most workers. Protests are nationwide in cities like Calais, where workers danced in protest. But the French capital is expected to be the most affected. In Paris, around 120 schools will be closed, and 60% of teachers will be on strike. Unions and opposition parties are encouraging people to bring France to a halt. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is in Baghdad today as he continues his tour of the Middle East. Austin says he's in Iraq to reaffirm the U.S. partnership there and move toward a more secure, stable, and sovereign Iraq. He is the highest-ranking official to visit the country since the Biden administration began.
Michelle Obama is launching her new podcast series today, and her first guest is today's Hoda Kotb. It was recorded in November when Hoda moderated the Philadelphia stop on Mrs. Obama's newest book tour. During her first episode, the former first lady opens up about how she felt during Donald Trump's inauguration. Mrs. Obama says she sobbed uncontrollably as she left the White House after President Trump was sworn in. She says she was overcome by the emotions of leaving her home of 8 years and resentment over Trump taking office.
Join WREL as we celebrate and support our amazing local arts community during the third annual Big Night In for the Arts. This event features performances by Tony Award winner Beth Level, fusion folk artists Larry and Joe, social media dance superstars Costin Mayer, plus a live performance from Grammy-nominated country artist Reese Palmer. Watch, donate, and celebrate the arts Thursday at 7 on WREL and wherever you stream our signal. We're celebrating some of the beautiful weather out here for a little while longer.
Yeah, we've already crossed past the 70-degree mark, and it's kind of breezy out there. You can see some of the trees swing there at Dix Park. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner also has a view that shows the breeze out there. Time is ticking. If you want to get out and enjoy some 70s, we'll gradually start to see our temperatures falling as we head through the afternoon. We've probably hit as warm as we're going to see now, and it is breezy out here, or windy. I mean, we'll just go ahead and call it windy. Of course, this is a look at downtown Wilson at the Whirligig Park, and this is always such a fun live shot to take when we have breezy conditions. But the winds will continue to be gusty as we get through the afternoon, and we have high fire danger. We'll talk a bit more about that coming up. 74 is our current temperature. I guess by 1 o'clock we could pop it up maybe just a couple more degrees. But after that, temperatures will begin to drop starting around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll be a slow drop. It's not going to instantaneously fall, but by the time folks are coming home from work, 5 to 6 o'clock, temperatures will be back down into the mid-60s, which will be about 10 degrees cooler, of course, than it is right now. Here's a look at winds across our area. Our winds are coming out of the northwest steady on the left box there in blue at 13 miles per hour in Raleigh and Durham, 15 in Fayetteville, 13 in Rocky Mount. And then the white box on the right is the wind gusts. And we're seeing gusts up to 26 in the triangle, 25 in Fayetteville, 18 in Clinton, 21 Goldsboro, 24 in Rocky Mount. So it is definitely windy out there. We may see some gusts this afternoon all the way up to 30 miles per hour. And then that wind will begin to die down once we get past sunset. Because of low humidity and strong winds, we do have high fire danger, so you're encouraged not to do any outdoor burning for today. By tomorrow, things should ease up a bit, as it shouldn't be nearly as windy. Our highs this afternoon, our temperatures right now, sorry, mid-70s, 77 Fayetteville, 76 in Clinton. That's so close to our actual highs this afternoon, and noticeably warmer than yesterday, anywhere from 5 to almost 10 degrees warmer than this time yesterday. We'll hit 76 in Raleigh, 69 in South Hill, 80 potentially in Fayetteville this afternoon. Our cold front, though, has moved through, and now we're going to continue to see the cooler air filtering in. Not only will we feel the cooler air in the afternoon, we're going to feel it in the mornings as well. Our normal low, 38 degrees. We tend to see that around 7 a.m. So tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., 37. The coldest morning of the next 5 days, likely to be Thursday, where we'll likely be down near freezing. And then it's a little warmer Friday, Saturday. Sunday, we're back into the 30s again. This is a look at Thursday morning and what our threat
threats are. The purple there is a freeze threat, and the blue from Raleigh southward is a frost threat. We may not end up with a frost or freeze warning because it is typical for us to still see freezing temperatures this time of year. The last spring freeze in the triangle is typically April 1st through 11th, and the average hard freeze, killing freeze, is usually the last week of March. Now, of course, we're early this year. So many things have started to pop out already, bloom, bud, that sort of thing. So if you're a farmer, I know you're watching very closely to see what's going to happen for the next couple of weeks, because we still have the potential for below normal temperatures all the way through March 20th and possibly beyond that as well. So looking at nearly 60 for today and tomorrow. Over the weekend, of course, temperatures will be still a little below normal. Some showers on Friday. We'll talk about the timeline for the rain Friday into the weekend coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Car crashes are the leading cause of death, but safety is always improving. Today at 4, 5 Underside shares the best car seats to keep your kids safe.
And you're looking live at Roxborough right now, where a distinguished building on Main Street is going back in time with a new look. The restoration coming to the local jeweler's building, plus additional growth happening in that city. That's tonight at 5:30. Meantime, still ahead this noon, Lowe's is bringing back a popular program to help entrepreneurs get a foot in the industry. How business owners can become a supplier for the major home improvement chain.
Plus, just because it says made in America doesn't mean it came from America. How the USDA plans to change meat labels so that you know exactly what you're getting. Car repossessions are on the rise as inflation continues to hit Americans hard. The number of car repossessions jumped by 11% last year compared to the year before. That is still below pre-pandemic levels. A growing number of people are falling behind on their car payments due to high car prices and high interest rates.
Lowe's is calling for businesses to be its new suppliers. The company is bringing back Into the Blue. That's where any business can apply by March 20th and potentially provide new products for its stores. 170 new vendors were onboarded during Lowe's first Into the Blue event in November. The improvement store says it will invest up to $5 million in purchase orders for select businesses. Adidas could be forced to burn unsold Yeezy merchandise if it can't sell the remaining products. The company may have to burn up to $500 million worth of merchandise. He was dropped for anti-Semitic comments last year. Other companies have burned products in the past. An alternative strategy for the sneaker company could be to rebrand the product and sell it at a discount.
Still to come in this newscast, what Raleigh police are revealing about a deadly crash that shut down parts of Atlantic Avenue for several hours this morning.
Also, how Weight Watchers plans to cash in on a drug now being prescribed to people trying to lose weight. And here's a look at your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Raleigh police are working right now to figure out what led to a deadly crash this morning. WRAL's Brian Schrader has an update on the investigation.
Yeah, that crash killed one person and sent two others to the hospital with serious injuries. Sky 5 was over the scene this morning. This all happened just before 4:30 on Atlantic Avenue near Six Forks Road in Raleigh, and police had to shut down Atlantic for hours while they investigated. Here's what we've learned so far. We know the crash involved three vehicles, and one of the people injured is a child. WRL's Michael Gray said that he saw at least one canine officer at the scene during that investigation. We're still working to learn exactly what happened and also the identities of the people involved. So look for updates on the WRL News app and later this afternoon on WRL News beginning at 4. Renee.
Brian, thank you. A man now faces charges after a deadly crash on Holly Springs Road in Wake County. Charles Dale III is charged with felony death by motor vehicle and carrying a concealed gun while drinking alcohol. Troopers say he did not yield as he turned into his driveway last night just south of Cary Parkway. He hit 24-year-old Gabriella Hamed, who was riding a motorcycle. She died in the crash.
A Durham bakery will be closed for repairs today after a fire. Firefighters told the WRO Breaking News Tracker that flames broke out of the Panaderia y Pastelaria on Liberty Street around 1 a.m. No one was hurt, but the bakery was heavily damaged. The cause is not clear. Deputies are searching for the person responsible for a deadly shooting in Hope Mills. Cumberland County deputies responded to Medicus Lane near Woodington Road. You see it on this map here. That was around 9:15 last night. And they tell us they found a man who had been shot to death there. They have not released his name or said what led up to the shooting.
Nearly half of the jobs in the state's juvenile detention centers are unfilled. That has some pushing for a raise in starting pay. There are so many vacant positions that some employees are working more than one role a day. Some point to the starting salary of $35,000 a year for juvenile detention workers as a major hurdle. Adult detention workers start between $45,000 and $50,000 a year. The state's Deputy Secretary of Juvenile Justice told WRAL's Julian Grace about the effort to close the gap.
So we're doing several things right now. One is that we're offering a sign-on bonus for employees. We're also doing retention bonuses for employees to try to get them to stay in those roles that they're in.
Kentucky recently moved to increase starting pay for juvenile detention center workers from $35,000 to $50,000, and it worked. It quickly filled 68 positions.
School superintendents across the nation are dealing with an alarming trend, record spikes of teacher turnover. What does that mean for students across the country? Stephanie Gosk examines how some districts are dealing with the shortage.
Across the country, fed-up teachers, many tired of long hours and low pay, are calling it quits. In one Virginia county, they are hoping a $3,000 bonus will keep teachers from leaving the job.
Our teachers work hard, our staff works hard, and they need to be fairly compensated.
But they are down more than 150 teachers. It's a similar story in school districts across the country. New numbers from eight states show how tough things are getting. Last school year, Maryland and Louisiana saw the highest number of resignations in a decade. In Washington state, it was the highest number in three decades.
When everything shut down and COVID kind of took full swing, that was my first year in the classroom.
Angela Tilson resigned from her teaching job in Massachusetts last December.
COVID is still very much affecting the education system. The gaps are striking, and there's only so much that you can do as one person in the overload of work.
It sounds like you reached a real breaking point.
Yes, I did.
Like many, she shared her story online. There are a mix of reasons.
I am not going to miss unreasonable class sizes. I am not going to miss 23-minute lunch breaks.
Children are struggling academically. Teacher shortages mean more work. And then there's the pay.
Today was my last day as a teacher. I'd like to think it's just a pause, but I honestly don't know right now.
In the fall, Sayreville, New Jersey sent out flyers hoping to inspire people to help. Three retired teachers returned to the job, but the district still has 12 vacancies.
We were starting to experience a little bit of the shortage last year, but it seems that we hit the pinnacle this year.
Did it get worse?
Without a doubt.
The key, educators say, is getting young college students to choose the profession.
Our message to them is you couldn't ask for a more noble field. You know, if you really want to make an impact on this world, this is where it's to be done.
Weight Watchers hopes to cash in on the growing customer demand for using the diabetes medication Ozempic to lose weight. Weight Watchers agreed to pay $65 million in cash and $35 million in stock to Sequence's owners. The company is known for connecting people with doctors who can prescribe diabetes drugs for weight loss.
A local Jewish organization is using a religious holiday to counter a message of hate against faith. Chabad of Durham Chapel Hill is holding a Purim celebration for the community this afternoon. Organizers will also share a response to the National Day of Hate from neo-Nazi groups that took place two weekends back. Now, today's event runs from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Angel Island in Durham.
It seems obvious what made in the USA should mean, why the current label is misleading, and what lawmakers are doing to change that.
Plus, how the largest outbreak of the bird flu ever in the U.S. could result in chickens getting flu shots. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app.
Welcome back. You're looking live at the Legislative Building. Look at the beautiful blue sky in downtown Raleigh. It is windy and warm. We're at 73 degrees. Enjoy the warmth today because it's not going to feel this warm tomorrow. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Do you know where your meat comes from? Roughly two-thirds of people believe an item marked product of USA means that all or most of the meat production took place in America. But it's not true. Jackie Banias takes a look at new proposed rules that would create more transparency.
Just because your food label says made in the USA doesn't mean it originally came from America. But now, the Department of Agriculture is hoping to change that. The federal agency proposing a new rule Monday stating meat, poultry, and eggs sold in the U.S. must be, quote, born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States in order to bear a label saying product of USA. Previously, animals from foreign countries could be shipped to the U.S. for slaughter, with those products allowed to feature a Made in the USA sticker. International meat could also be imported and repacked in the U.S. or undergo further processing and still be called a product of USA. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says American consumers expect that when they buy a meat product at the grocery store, the claims they see on the label mean what they say. The USDA announcement also garnering some bipartisan applause. Monday, South Dakota Republican Senator Mike Rounds tweeted in part, quote, "For years, we've called on the USDA to take action to stop foreign beef from receiving the product of USA label. Our work is finally paying off."
That was Jackie Banez reporting. The product of USA labels are not mandatory. The proposed rule is currently up for public debate before it's finalized.
A flu vaccine for chickens could be in the works soon. The Biden administration is considering mass vaccinations of chickens in light of a widespread bird flu. This outbreak is the largest ever in history. The effects of it has caused egg prices to surge, millions of chickens to die, and has spread to other animals. Though the risk of avian flu spreading to humans is low, there are fears that it could mutate. One of the longest-running Black Southern film festivals is underway in the Triangle. We're talking about the Hayti Film Festival. Up next, we'll talk to one of the driving forces behind this year's event.
Plus, put your movie review skills to the test. How Amazon is giving people a chance to see how their Oscars predictions stack up against Sunday's winners.
The Hayti Heritage Film Festival is now underway. This year's festival features virtual screenings of documentaries and workshops, as well as events at Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. Joining us now to talk about this year's film festival is Lana Garland. Lana, great to have you with us. We understand you've been leading this festival, which promotes and elevates filmmakers of color, for the past 5 years now. Talk about how it's evolved over that time.
Yes. Hi, Renee. It's great seeing you. I'm a big fan. It's evolved over the past 5 years in the sense that I've kind of made it more of a regional festival now. Prior to my being on board, it was more local and specifically Durham. And so I wanted to make something that would forefront Black Southern filmmakers. Having worked and having a career in New York and in Copenhagen, I'm so used to seeing content that comes from the major city centers like New York, LA, Chicago, and I wanted something that would forefront all the fabulous stories that I started hearing and experiencing once I was here in North Carolina. And so that is the focus, building up a Black Southern film ecosystem so that you'll be able to see more Black Southern stories.
Love that you're using your expertise to bring that ecosystem here in Durham. So this year's event kicked off yesterday with online screenings of several documentaries. Why was it important to incorporate that component?
I think it's easier to incorporate that component, both the online aspect and the documentary aspect. So when COVID hit, We were really out of pocket and we did not know what would happen in 2021. So we decided to have a totally hybrid event. And let me tell you, we actually tripled our audience in doing so. So that told me something. Mm-hmm. That told me there's a lot of people who are interested in this content who just maybe aren't able to make it on a Thursday or a Friday. So we thought that we would always, from here going forward, would have an online component. And it's been great being back at Haytai in the performance hall so that we can still do those things like networking and having live workshops. And so, and the documentary piece, it's much easier for our filmmakers to make documentaries than it is fiction film. So on any given year, you'll see many more documentaries than you will narrative fiction. And the more documentaries that are done, the more the pathways open for even narrative fictional film.
Lana, we have just a little time left. The official opening is Thursday, 6 p.m. Tell us about the award-winning film that will be featured. Again, we only have 30 seconds.
Award-winning film. We're talking about The Inspection. Jeremy Pope was nominated for a Golden Globe. It also got the NAACP Independent Film Award. And so it's really a story that pulls on the heartstrings. And so everybody should make that on opening night, Thursday, March 9th.
So the Haytai Heritage Film Festival really includes something for everyone, dealing with lots of topics, family, love, trauma, and history. And we can get you that ticket information on WRAL.com for the Haytai Heritage Film Festival. Lana Garland, thank you so much for talking with us and continued success with this festival.
Thank you so much.
We carry them with us. I love that message. It is gaining steam for sure. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now as we close out the lunch hour here. We're starting to see those temperatures that are going to dip here pretty soon.
Yeah, by the time we get to the middle of the afternoon, you may start to notice it. But if you are out at lunchtime and then out again at 5 or 6 o'clock, it could be 10 degrees cooler. And that's the opposite of what we normally see. Here's a look at Goldsboro, Apex, Durham, and Chapel Hill. We're seeing mostly clear skies, just a few clouds out there. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. It really feels nice out there right now, but our cold front is sliding southward. Watch the color contours change to blue and watch how long we stay blue. We're going to see high pressure continuing to feed cold air into our region. And then a system rolls in over it. We're still going to end up seeing some chilly temperatures with the rain, and we don't really recover, not at least to what we've seen lately, until maybe 2 weeks from now. Let's take a look at the rain that's headed our way. This is coming Friday, so we'll stay nice and dry for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. This is Wednesday. This is tomorrow at 6 p.m. We may see some increasing clouds. This is Thursday morning, and then we'll take it on out to Friday morning. We'll pause it there at about 9 a.m. on Friday. We should have a dry morning commute on Friday. We'll continue to watch the timeline in case that changes, but we do have some rain that moves in. Yesterday, it looked like the rain was covering the whole state by the evening commute, and now it's lighter and a little farther to the south. So we'll watch that trend. We are at least right now trending a little bit drier on Friday. Not dry, but just a little bit drier. And then we'll see that front moving through Saturday, and behind it, we should clear things out. Our pollen count definitely high now, but as we begin to see the temperatures dropping a little bit, the pollen counts will likely drop as well. Typically, we cool things off and the trees are not as likely to let that pollen go out into the atmosphere. And of course, when we see rain, that helps the situation some as well. So we'll see some of that hopefully on Friday. Later sunsets happening as well. Of course, we go back to daylight time early Sunday morning. So Saturday, the sunset is at 6:20 and Sunday it's at 7:21. And of course, we see later sunrises too, starting on Sunday and Monday. We'll definitely notice that. It's going to be chilly, definitely on Friday, 48 degrees for the high. It'll be cloudy all day with those showers to wrap up the day. We may also have a few showers late Sunday, Monday. The models are not totally on board with that just yet. So if you have outdoor plans Sunday and Monday, keep checking back. It may be that what we see is very light or scattered. We're also trending a little bit drier for those days as well. We talked earlier in the newscast about Thursday morning. That's going to be the morning that we'll be most likely to see freezing temperatures, but it looks chilly for really, you know, the next, not just 5 days, 7 days, but for the next 2 weeks potentially. So we're in the 30s on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning. And then next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, it looks like we'll see another cold blast that comes in. So hopefully you don't mind the cold temperatures.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, back to that story we brought you at the top of the newscast regarding the American citizens that were kidnapped in Mexico. The White House is now speaking out, saying they will be working closely with Mexico, ensuring that justice has been served. Again, two of the four Americans have been found dead. The other two are alive. They say the U.S. will work with Mexican officials to ensure that, to learn more, that all the victims have been returned to the United States. We also know the bodies of the dead Americans will be examined in Mexico before they are brought back here to the U.S. So far, one person has been arrested. The victims have not been identified. We'll have your top stories after the break.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Lee County deputies are investigating a deadly shooting outside a restaurant in Sanford. They responded to Fat Junior's Grill around 7:30 this morning. They found 25-year-old Calvin Lester dead in the parking lot. The restaurant was closed at the time of the shooting. Investigators believe Lester worked at a nearby manufacturing facility.
State lawmakers are working on a bill to increase the penalty for fentanyl and opioid-related offenses. Today, families of victims were at the legislature pushing for it. This bill would allow people who sell fentanyl to be charged with a Class B2 felony, so that would carry a sentence of decades in prison. In 2021, 11 people died in North Carolina every single day from drug overdoses.
The plan to bring a new 37-story building to North Hills is scrapped for now. WRL first broke this story just before 11 a.m. Kane Realty has several plans for the area, but for now they say they're pulling their application to rezone property off Six Forks Road. This change comes almost 2 years after submitting the initial proposal, also as significant pushback came from community groups.
Halle Bailey is reacting to a new doll based on her portrayal of Ariel in Disney's live-action remake of The Little Mermaid.
I am literally choking up because this means so much to me, and to have one that looks like me, that's my favorite Disney character, is very surreal. And look, she even has my mole.
They got every detail right. Bailey posted this video to Instagram, sharing her excitement. The Little Mermaid, the live-action remake, set to arrive in theaters May 26th.
Amazon rolls out a new feature that gives movie buffs a chance to predict the winners of this year's Oscars. The Oscars Hub on Fire TV has all the nominated movies. Starting today, users can cast their votes for the winners in the seven major categories using an interactive voting experience. The last day to vote is this Sunday, the day of the Oscars. And after the ceremony, Fire TV users will be given an accuracy score.
A snowmobile rider in Idaho had a scary encounter with a moose. Take a look. Five friends were enjoying the snow when they encountered a moose. One man stood on his sled, waved his arms to distract the moose, and then one of the men captured the moose, making contact with another rider seconds after he was able to jump off it. The riders followed the moose for a half mile after the incident to make sure it was okay.
Ooh, our pet of the day is a beautiful shepherd lab mix looking for her forever home. Lily is a seven-month-old girl who has a generic spinal issue, but she plays like a normal dog. She's house-trained and crate-trained, and Lily can run upstairs just fine, but getting down is a different story. Sometimes she's a little wobbly when she's too tired, but she doesn't let it slow her down. Lily's great with kids and other dogs. Contact Pawfic Match to arrange a meeting.
Coming up later at 4 o'clock, the economy continues serving up mixed messages. The uncertainty ahead after aggressive action from the Federal Reserve and the warnings that a recession could still happen. Meanwhile, our fake spring is still happening for one more day. We are in the 70s this afternoon.
I'm gonna get outside and enjoy it and get that moose video out of my head. That was terrifying, right?
Get right into the pollen.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app as you look live at the beautiful blue skies in the state legislative building. Get out, enjoy the weather. It's going to be freezing tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll see you later.
WREL News, over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.